Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. James is back toward the end of your Bible. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you'll find Bibles in the chair pockets around you. James 1, we'll be reading verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Father, as always, I thank you for the great privilege you have extended to us in allowing us to come to this place and enter your presence. I know, Lord, that you are an omnipresent God, that there's nowhere that you are not. And yet I also know, Lord, that in your word, you tell us that you are uniquely where your people are. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them, Jesus said. And the key is not that there are just two or three Christians gathered together, but they're there in his name. We're here, Lord, because of Jesus. We're gathered here in order to worship you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that as we spend time in your word, you would teach us. We want to hear from you, Lord. I pray you'd set a guard over my lips, that I would speak those things that are right and true, and that you'd be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want you to think about those times in life where we have a decision to make and we're uncertain as to what to do. We want to make the right choice, but we're unsure as to which choice is the right choice. Or maybe we're just facing some problem and we don't even have any idea as to what to do. We don't even know what choices there are. If any of you lacks wisdom, James tells us, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There are two important points I want you to notice in this verse. The first is that we are actually being encouraged to seek God for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And the second point is that we're being told that God wants to give us wisdom. He gives to all liberally and without reproach, the verse tells us. And the reason I point this out is because I think we often feel like God is trying to conceal wisdom from us, that we've been left alone to grope through the darkness of life, never knowing which direction to go or which choice to take. But according to this verse, that's not true. God is more than ready to give us wisdom and has no reluctance to do so. In fact, when we come to him seeking wisdom, we should expect to receive that wisdom. We should be living with a daily consciousness of a God who speaks to us. Which is why the next verse tells us, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Let a person ask God for wisdom, trusting that God will give that wisdom, with no doubt that God will give that wisdom. The man who doubts that God will give him the wisdom he's seeking is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, James tells us. And I love that word picture, a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. The surface of a body of water stirred up and moved in whatever direction the wind blows, which is what we're like whenever we don't believe we'll receive God's direction. We're moved in one direction by this circumstance, then in another direction by another circumstance. First by this person's counsel, then by another person's counsel. And so we move in no direction with conviction because we lack the confidence that we've truly heard from God. And the sad reality is, James goes on to tell us, that such a person shouldn't expect to receive wisdom from God, because he's not going to act with any conviction, even if the wisdom is given. He'll always second guess and lose heart whenever the going gets tough, as it almost always will with things that really matter. I know what James means here, because I have sometimes been that person, and I've seen others who were that person. You believe that God can guide you, but you don't have the confidence that he will. And even when you believe that he has, you're still ready to change course at the first sign of hardship or if a better opportunity comes along. Of course, I know it's possible to read something as being God's will when it really isn't God's will. You convince yourself that your own desire is God's will. Or you act impulsively when you've experienced something which you believe is God's guidance without testing the spirits behind that guidance, or without following the parameters God has established for truly discerning his will. Impulsiveness especially is a stumbling block to acting in line with God's will. Proverbs 29:20 tells us, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Ecclesiastes 5:2 warns, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God." And basically, both of these passages are warning us not to commit to a course of action too quickly. A wise man looks before he leaps. Here's how Jesus puts it in Luke 14:28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" But we often don't want to sit down first and count the cost, or do the work that the Bible tells us we have to do in making a wise decision. We want our answer now. We want to know what God wants us to do without the risk of being wrong, which really means without the need to trust. When I was a teenager, one of the trendy new gifts was a magic eight ball. It looked like an eight ball that you find in billiards, but it was much larger, was filled with dark liquid, had a small square display screen on the bottom, and had a white 20-sided die with writing on each side of the die. So you would ask a question that could be answered with yes or no, then you would shake the ball, look at the display screen on the bottom, and wait for the die to rise to the surface with one side displayed, which would have some variation of your answer on it. There was a total of 20 possible answers, 10 positive, 5 negative, and 5 vague answers. But if you got a vague answer, you could always shake the eight ball and try again. Well, God's will is not found by swirling around a magic eight ball and then seeing which instruction on the die floats to the surface. We might prefer that, but that's almost never the way God's will works. We prefer that option not only because it's fast, but because it relieves us of personal responsibility. I mean, then we simply have to do what we've been told to do by God, and if it doesn't work out, well, then guess who gets the blame? A variation of seeking God's will through the magic eight ball is seeking God's guidance through some event we regard as extraordinary. We're driving down the road and a certain song comes on the radio or on our playlist, and it seems to have some message for us about some present issue we're facing. Or some stranger walks up to us and tells us she has the gift of prophecy, and then she makes some prophecy about our life. Or we have a dream one night that we interpret a certain way. And we know that God can speak through extraordinary events. We have multiple examples of that in the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah had a dream that he should buy a field in Anatoth for a certain price, even though he knew that Judah was about to be conquered by Babylon, so buying a field in a nation that's about to collapse didn't seem to make a lot of sense. But the next day, a guy comes up to Jeremiah and offers to sell him a field in Anatoth for just the price in Jeremiah's dream. "Then I knew it was the word of the Lord," Jeremiah tells us, in reference to that dream he'd had the night before. When the Apostle Paul was on the first missionary journey, he had a certain itinerary he was following. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 tells us, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, But the Spirit did not permit them. So they were following their own plan as to where they should go. But in some way, the Holy Spirit was redirecting them, and they were open to that redirection. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And sure enough, they found the people of Macedonia who were receptive to the gospel, and Paul was able to establish churches there. So God can guide through extraordinary means. Though it's essential to remember that even in the Bible, that miraculous guidance is the exception, not the norm. In fact, in the two instances I mentioned to you where God guided Jeremiah and the Apostle Paul through dreams, it's important to note that neither Jeremiah nor the Apostle Paul were seeking that kind of guidance. God simply chose to speak to them in that way, whereas we're often prone to asking God for some kind of supernatural guidance or looking for signs of anything we might interpret as that kind of supernatural guidance. And that preference that God would speak to us through some extraordinary means can make us easy targets for manipulation and deception. So a wiser course of action is to assume that God's not going to guide you through some extraordinary means, and that you're going to have to put in the time and the work of taking those steps that the Bible tells us you need to take in order to discern God's will. Also, we need to remember that the promise of God's wisdom or guidance doesn't necessarily mean that God will tell us exactly which choice to take. It means that God will give us the wisdom needed to take the choice. And according to the Bible, God can give us that wisdom through multiple avenues. For instance, Psalm 119:105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So God's Word provides us with principles, specific do's and don'ts, and positive and negative examples that will give us light for the next steps that we need to take in life. The books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the specific guidance given in the New Testament are especially helpful in giving us guidance regarding life issues. You need to read these books. You need to become familiar with these books so that the wisdom in these books becomes a part of your mind, a part of who you are. God can also give us wisdom through the counsel of other people. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety, we're told in Proverbs 11:4. Which means that the more counsel we receive from those who seem to be living in lines with God's Word, the better off we are. There's safety in seeking that counsel from others because we can benefit from their life experience, and they may help us recognize blind spots or important factors that we have missed in our decision making. Another source of wisdom for us as Christians is the internal promptings of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, the Holy Spirit prompts Philip to initiate a conversation with a visitor from Ethiopia. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." Philip does as he sensed the Holy Spirit telling him, and is then able to lead this Ethiopian to faith in Jesus. And this man goes back and begins the church in Ethiopia. In Acts 16, verses 6 and 7, we're told about the Holy Spirit's guidance of Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke as they were seeking to carry the gospel into the world. That was the passage that I read to you earlier. Now, when they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So the Holy Spirit can and does speak to us through internal promptings as to the specific things God wants us to do. However, in regard to those internal specific promptings, a testing of the spirits is always necessary in order to make sure the guidance is truly coming from God. We are especially vulnerable in this subjective area of sensing God's specific guidance because of the possibility of being deceived by the desires of our own heart or by the voice of the enemy. Satan can come as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14 warns us, which means that just because something seems like it's coming from God doesn't mean it is coming from God. In testing the spiritual sources of our promptings, the revelation God has given in His Word is key. That's why you need to know God's Word. Whatever we have felt prompted to do must be in agreement with and cannot violate what God has already revealed. God does not contradict Himself. So, for example, if a guy meets some beautiful girl who's not a Christian, or some non-Christian girl from his past just miraculously comes back into his life, and he's thinking that maybe this is God's way of trying to tell him he should date this girl. God's Word already has the answer for him. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. So summing all of this up, what would be the best approach to seeking God's wisdom in any given situation? Well, as this passage we looked at in James chapter 1 tells us, the first step is to ask God for that wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, James 1:5 instructs us. So we need to pray. Ask God to give us the wisdom for whatever choice it is that we're facing. Then after asking God to give us the wisdom which He said He's willing to give us, we need to begin taking the steps necessary to find and apply that wisdom. A good beginning point is to find out as much as possible about the choices available to you, and then consider your own gifting, experience, and desires in regard to what you discover about those different options. Next, search the Scriptures to see what God may have already said in His Word about the choices you face. In some cases, as with the example I gave you earlier of a guy wondering whether he should date this non-Christian girl in whom he's interested, God's Word will settle the issue for you, and then the only question will be whether you obey God or not. But assuming God's Word doesn't clearly settle the issue for you, the next step will be to talk with those around you who can offer wise counsel. Your pool of possible counselors includes those who have life experience in whatever choice you're facing, even if they're not Christians. Committed Christians you respect definitely have to be a source of counsel. Your Christian spouse, if you're married, and parents and grandparents who are Christians. Christian friends can also be a source of counsel, but you'll need to exercise caution here, especially if your friends haven't been Christians very long or would be likely to tell you what you want to hear. Proverbs 27:6 tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, which means that sometimes a friend may tell you things you may not want to hear or that may even hurt your feelings, but the reason your friend is telling you these things, sharing this hard truth with you, is because your friend loves you and wants you to act for good. In fact, if you have a friend like that who will tell you like it is instead of just agreeing with you or telling you what you want to hear, you are a blessed person. But you have to be cautious regarding the counsel of your friends. Then at some point, after taking the above steps and trying to make a wise decision, you actually have to make a choice and then trust God. In giving you whatever wisdom you need, God will never eliminate the need to trust in regard to your life decisions. And if the choice you made is in line with God's will, at some point after making the choice, you'll begin to sense that confirmation. And speaking of the guidance that God will give His people, in Isaiah 30, verse 21, God tells us, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. But I want you to notice what that verse says. You will hear a voice behind you, which means you are already walking in a certain direction, and God provides the confirmation that the direction you're walking is the right direction. And if not, He will redirect you. In fact, that verse goes on to say that if you turn to the right hand or to the left hand, He will redirect you. The key point here is that your confidence needs to rest not in your ability to accurately discern God's will, but in God. In a God who loves you, who wants to give you wisdom, who wants to bring you life. In closing, I want you to see what the Father has to tell us about His desire to give wisdom and those who seek it in Proverbs chapter 2. But turn there with me, if you would. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My son, or my daughter, if you're a woman, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, so see, there's some effort being put in, right? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. And he goes on then and continues to talk about other aspects of how wisdom benefits us and protects us. So we have a God who wants to give us wisdom. We simply need to ask and then do the work necessary to find that wisdom. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have not left us alone to grope through the darkness of life, but that You have provided Your Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that You have given us brothers and sisters in Christ who can also be sources of wise counsel for us. And I thank You, Father, for the presence of Your Holy Spirit in our lives, who can prompt us internally. Though I do pray, Father, especially, that You would give us the humility to recognize our vulnerability in this area. It's extremely easy to be deceived by our heart's desires, to make our will Your will. And it's easy to be deceived, Lord, by the enemy, who can often come as an angel of light. We really can believe that things are of God that are not from God. So, Father, please give us the spiritual discernment we need. Perhaps that will come through the counsel that others give us, Lord, or the counsel of Your Word. But help us to remember, Father, that whatever counsel we have believed has come from You, whatever guidance we believe has come from You, must line up with Your Word. Lord, I pray You give us a love for Your Word, that we would want it to become a part of who we are, so that when we face those choices we have in life, we automatically have the wisdom necessary to make the choices, to take the steps, and then the wisdom to give to others who come to us seeking counsel, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ in this room. I pray, Lord, that You would give them wisdom. I pray, Father, that they would have hearts that truly want to do Your will. And I pray, Father, that they would be willing to walk in line with that will, even when it's hard, Lord, even when it costs them, that they would walk in line with Your will because they trust You and they know that You always do what's right. Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your love and Your guidance. If you're with us this morning, if everyone would please keep your head bowed. If you're with us today, and there hasn't come a time in your life where you have truly trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, this is that opportunity. You have a God who wants to know you, who wants you to know Him. And by that, I'm speaking about relationship. You have a God who wants to have a relationship with you, who wants to be a part of your life. A God who loved you so much that He gave His own Son in sacrifice on the cross, that your sins might be atoned for and you might be forgiven. You can find forgiveness through Jesus. You can find cleansing of your sin through Jesus. You can find a relationship with God through Jesus. All you have to do is receive. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if you are with us this morning and you're not sure if you really know God, if you've ever truly come into that relationship with Him through Jesus, if you would raise your hand, I will lead you in a prayer of commitment. The words aren't magical, but hopefully they are an expression of your heart. And if they are, you will be saved. All you need to do is raise your hand. Father God, again, I thank You for the ways in which You move in our lives to draw us to You. I thank You for the people that You bring into our lives that are able to answer the questions that we have before we come to You, Lord. And for the people who are in our lives after we come to You that can give us guidance and direction, through whom You can speak truth into our lives, Lord. Father, I thank You for every person in this room. And if there is anyone in this room this morning, Lord, who truly hasn't yet come to know Jesus, I continue to pray for the salvation of that person, that You would protect them, that You would keep them from the enemy, that You'd move in their life, that they might come to that place where they would bow their knee to Christ and confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. And Father, help us to be Your ambassadors in this world. Help us to seek to further Your purposes in this world, Lord. To be Your voice in this world as we share the good news of Your Son and the hope that He gives us of eternal life. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.